Today I want to talk to you about something that's been weighing heavy on my mind for a few years. We as adults are expected to know how to act in all situations. However, we rarely are ever told or taught how exactly. I want to discuss how we as children of the Most High God should treat our brother and sister that is having a difficult time with something that has happened to them. Most of us have lost loved ones at some time in our lives, whether through a tragic accident, a disease, or maybe even violence. Perhaps we've lost a marriage, a job, gone bankrupt, or some other life-changing event. How can we cope with such a loss? At times like this, we need comforting and help from our friends and family. We need hope and reassurance. However, most of us lack the ability or the knowledge of how to do just that. How do we comfort one another? How do we talk to someone that has gone through something horrific or dreadful in their life? Brethren, I ask you, I implore you, watch what you say when you're trying to comfort. You need to ask yourself, why would you say such a thing, and how would you react if someone said those very words to you? The title of this message is, Why Would You Say That? I'm going to share a tragedy that has happened in my life and that I am struggling with still to this very day. Our son here in the audience is not our firstborn, but our second. My wife, while pregnant with her first child, had no real problems. She ate right, she exercised daily, we prayed as family, and did all that we were supposed to do according to the We're Having a Baby book. My wife and I were both the eldest of large families, and we expected that we too would have a large family. We were all excited for just in a few months we would usher in the first grandchild. The next part might be hard for some of you to hear, but this is my reality. My wife was 3 months along and started feeling really bad at night. She woke up and said, and this is a paraphrase, "The bed is completely soaked. I don't understand. I haven't spilled any water. It was raining and storming outside, so I assumed maybe we had a roof leak." But that wasn't the case. I turned on the lights to see that the bed was completely covered in blood, and her face was very pale and flushed. I didn't know what to do. This was my first occurrence with anything like this, and hers as well. I picked her up and put her in her car, and it was raining so hard that I just couldn't get the speed to even make it to the hospital in a normal. I was speeding as fast as I could go. The windshield wipers were going as fast as they could, but we just couldn't get there. When we drove up into the ER parking, the people there saw and they knew what had happened. They had seen it before. I waited in the hall while the doctor came out, put his hand on my shoulder and said, "Son, I'm sorry you lost your child." After having our son, we lost three more to miscarriage. This is our only son, our only child. I cried out to God and said, "Why did this happen to me? Why did this have to happen to us?" We were both devastated. We received lots of calls and visits, and from the ones I least expected it from, some of my friends, some family, and even some in the church said the most cutting and hurtful things. Here's a few. "It's for the best." "What did she do that was so wrong?" "Do you think you're being punished by God?" You guys were just way too immature, poor, or just young to have kids anyway. And the last one, maybe God doesn't want you to have kids. Terrible things happen to all people. When tragedy strikes, you should never blame them, even if it's their fault. That is the worst possible thing that you can do at a time like this. I would like for us to go to our Bibles now, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version to Luke 13. Luke 13, we're going to start in verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him being Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Verse 2. And Jesus said to them, "Do you suppose those Galileans were worse sinners than those other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you all likewise will perish." Verse 4. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. How can we cope with such tragedies? Praying and fasting brings us closer to God, and it helps us. I would like to go to Proverbs for some words of wisdom from Solomon and then to the Psalms. You don't have to turn to these next scriptures, but I'll read them to you. Proverbs 12:18, and this is all going to be in the New King James Version. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Psalms 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Just a couple more. Psalms 9, verse 9. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed and a stronghold in times of trouble. And Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and the very present help in trouble. Brethren, it's times like these that we need to be close to God, or we can fall easily into Satan's grasp and become depressed, withdrawn, blaming God, or even becoming suicidal. But you all, brethren, the one not going through this trial, what can you do to help those in need? There are things in this life that you will never have a good frame of reference on. You have no way of knowing how to react to this thing. So this is what I suggest. It is perfectly fine to say nothing. A simple hand on the shoulder or a pat on the back, or even saying, "I'll be praying for you," would be fine and sufficient. We see in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of comfort." Ask them if they need any help with chores. At times like this, food is usually the last thing on their minds, and having prepared meals is a comfort. I've talked to many who have received the prepared meals, and flowers even have brought happiness, a little happiness to them at this time. One more thing that we as people tend to do is compare our pains to theirs. Please don't do that. Although both situations are similar, they're not the same. A gentleman back home lost his son after 10 years to spinal meningitis. our miscarriage is not the same thing. So please don't try to compare. Remember, when you compare your tragedy to theirs, you're actually bringing focus back to yourself, and that's not helpful. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 1, and we're going to be reading verse 2 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 2. Grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Verse 6. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings for which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is also for your consolation and salvation. Remember, when a tragedy happens to someone and you don't know what to say, stop, pray, and ask God for guidance for what you might say in the situation. We see in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4, that there is a time to weep and a time to mourn, but please don't add to their pain. Take your time before you say anything and say to yourself, why would you say that?